I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our first scripture reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Our second scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 27 to verse 35. All of our scripture readings were taken from the NRSV translation. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us today. May the words we receive inspire us, comfort us, challenge us, and lead us to love.
Nakedness or kahubaran is not necessarily or not naturally bad or shameful, despite what we have been led to believe and practice. Ang kahubaran ay hindi masama o kahiyahiya. For Jews and Christians who share a common scripture in the book of Genesis, it tells us two creation stories that speaks the natural nakedness and the original nakedness of humans. There was no shame, guilt, or judgment with their naked bodies, and I would safely assume that together with that naked body, there is also no guilt, shame, or judgment on the body's desires, sexuality, and even erotic intimacy. They are included. God created humanity naked and after God's own image and likeness. Therefore, we can conclude that God is also naked. Ang Diyos ay hubad. At ang Diyos ang rurok ng kahubaran. And to whose eyes everything and everyone are naked. Of course, nakedness is ultimately tied to the body. Naked bodies are closely related to sex, sexuality, desire, and human intimacy. All of which were and are part of God's image and likeness. God formed and intended our bodies to be diverse in sex, gender identity, desire, sexualities, shapes, colors, and sizes. Now, there are other stories and passages of nakedness in scripture. The entire book of Song of Songs can be considered as your ancient Jewish erotic reading material that talks about naked bodies of a man and a woman. It also speaks of the erotic and sexual desire for the body of the other. Pag binasa niyo yung Song of Songs, and I invite you to read it, to open it, read it slowly, no, and read it a few times, makikita nyo, maririnig nyo that it talks about nakedness, kahubaran, and the desire for the naked body of another. No? And later, Christian theologians interpreted the Book of Songs as a metaphor, isa daw itong metaphor or symbolism ng relationship ng Diyos and the desire of God for the church. And inversely, the desire of the church and the relationship of the church to God. No? Ganun nila ininterpret yung Book of Songs kasi hindi nila matanggap na ito ay isang erotic kind of reading material that is in Scripture, in the Jewish Hebrew Testament. So they had to metaphorize it. They had to interpret it in a symbolic way. In another story, when Prince Jonathan fell deeply in love with David, he stripped himself naked and gave all his royal clothes and armor and even his weapons to David as a sign, an expression of his deep love and loyalty for David. At a much later story, when King David moved the Ark of the Covenant, the object of God's power and presence on earth, nung ililipat na ni Haring David ang Ark of the Covenant sa Jerusalem, he danced. Nagsayaw siya ng halos hubad na tapis na lang ang nakakover sa kanya, maikli, manipis na tapis. And he did not care. He danced erotically with and around the Ark of the Covenant as the Ark of the Covenant traveled and was transported to the city of Jerusalem. And he was already the king at the time. Naked bodies, sex, and erotica are written all over the Hebrew or Jewish Testament. One book is specifically about naked bodies and desires. Ancient Jewish writers have some level of comfort in expressing human sexuality and sensuality as they saw and known about it during their time and context. They also did not censor nor edit their scripture by writing off, burahin, yung mga stories of rape, incest, and adultery committed by their ancestors or even by those they considered as heroes of faith. Much later, Christian mystics wrote about their experience of God in the metaphor of human sexuality, erotic desire, and sensual intimacy. For a believing Christian, you and me profess and proclaim that Jesus is both fully God and fully human. Jesus of Nazareth is the embodiment of the divine, God in human form, flesh, bone, and blood. Yet oftentimes we have neglected His full humanity. Ang gusto natin yung Jesus na Darna. Hindi natin gusto yung Darna na... Ano ba pangalan ni Darna? Basta yung hindi pa siya Darna. Ang gusto natin, Jesus na Darna, na superhero. We neglect the part of the humanity of Jesus. Oftentimes, we have neglected His full humanity, that Jesus has a physical human body. As a peasant Jewish man in the first century common era, Jesus had a penis. May titi at bayag si Jesus. The Gospel of Luke tells us na tinuli siya nung baby pa siya. Kung tao si Jesus, may butas ang puwet ni Jesus. At doon lumalabas ang kanyang utot at dumi. Meron siyang utong. Jesus was born naked and out of the bloody vagina of Mary. Jesus most likely sucked the milk out of Mary's breast. Sinuso ng sanggol na Jesus ang gatas sa suso ni Maria. The first naked body that Jesus touched as a child and experienced is the naked body of his mother when he was born. Jesus saw and touched other human bodies. Other human bodies touched Jesus. Our second reading today tells us that Jesus experienced being stripped naked by his Roman tormentors so that together with physical torture, they may humiliate and shame him. So, not written in the biblical text, kahit na hindi nakasulat sa biblical text, sa Gospels, there are historical theories that it was possible that Jesus may have been raped by the Roman soldiers as part of their practice of humiliating and dehumanizing their enemies. And despite the 2,000 years depiction of the crucified Christ as having a cover on his genitalia, historically speaking, people who were crucified naked and fully exposed. No, nung pinako sa krus si Jesus, sa malamang siya ay hubad. At actually, nakasulat, he was stripped naked by the Roman soldiers before crucifying him. Again, part of humiliating the enemies of the Roman Empire. Jesus, God incarnate, experienced humanity's distorted ideas about naked and sexed bodies. How some bodies are more worthy and valued than others. How certain authorities determine which bodies are acceptable and which are not. At ano ang standard of an acceptable body? The other bodies are not valued, thereby those bodies can be abused, exploited, discarded, and disposed. Jesus experienced how some humans use nakedness to humiliate people and use sex to harm. Even today, the shame around our bodies is about following certain bodily standards. Standards by Western colonial cultures. At wala nang mas lalala pa sa standard ng kaputian kesa sa Pilipinas. You know, we have a multi-million or multi-billion industry of whiteness, kaputian, sa Pilipinas. I would argue that in and through Christ, all the shame, humiliation, and torture of naked bodies are then transformed and redeemed. As what also Paul says in his letters. And so, I would argue that there is nothing shameful about your body or your nakedness. No matter what shape or how it looks, it is worthy of respect, care, and love. There is nothing shameful or disgusting with your sexuality, with your gender identity, or your desires, or lack of desire. Some people does not have sexual desires. And other gender expressions and sexual preferences, which all of which are part of your body and of who you are. Of course, that is not to say that everything and anything goes. Na pwede na ang kahit na ano na lang, which has been the constant question in a body and sex positive church like Open Table MCC. I want to clarify that body positive and sex positive theology does not mean to say that it doesn't mean to indulge to the point of addiction or harm. But the curious thing, ito yung curious, no? The curious thing about the phenomenon of sexual violence and inappropriate behavior is that it often comes, not always, but it often comes from places where there is a negation and a demonization of the body and its component parts. Rape and pedophilia, terrible and horrific crimes, has thrived and survived in institutions and groups that have regulated and suppressed bodies and sexualities in unrealistic, unscientific, and irrational ways, in ridiculous ways or ridiculous kinds of ideas. Yung bang mga lugar at mga taong nangangaral na ang sex ay para lamang sa pagbuo ng bata, at para bumuo ng bata, dapat kayo ay mag-asawa muna. Yung mga nagsasabi ng ganyan, na mostly mga matatandang lalaking never naman nag-asawa, you know, sa kanilang samahan nagmumula madalas, but not always. Sa kanila, natin naririnig ang mga kagimbal-gimbal na kaso ng child molestation and rape. Oh, the irony of it. Napaka-ironic. Sila na mga balot na balot, at nagsasabing dapat manamit ng tama sa kabalutan, sobrang kabulutan. Sa kanila madalas nangyayari ang mga shocking na sexual crimes. Churches and leaders who say that sexual desires must only be practiced in heterosexual marriage. Mababalitaan na lang natin na yung leader nila o isa sa mga prominenteng member nila ang may dysfunctional or disordered na sexual behavior. Institutions and societies that separate sex from pleasure and desire are the ones whose leaders and members commit the most heinous of sexual offenses. Rape and domestic violence against women thrive and continue in institutions and communities where men get to say what happens to women's bodies and how much clothing should cover a woman's body. And yes, I am talking about the sexual abuse in churches. Not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but also in many conservative, fundamentalist, Protestant, and evangelical churches. Meron nang nagsabi minsan, hindi ko alam kung saan ko nabasa o narinig ito. May nagsabi nga na actually mas malala daw sa mga conservative churches yung rape and child abuse because hindi sila centralized at hindi yung unlike the Catholic Church na very structured, very process policy oriented. Ang daming mga independent, free-floating churches na walang oversight, no, walang higher authority na nag-oversight sa kanila, wala silang central structure, and therefore there are more offenses and cases of sexual abuse, rape, molestation in those churches na hindi nare-report or rarely gets reported. No, ewan ko kung totoo yun, may nagsabi lang, narinig ko lang somewhere, someone many years ago, no? So this is not just about the Roman Catholic Church, but also in other fundamentalist evangelical churches and even other Abrahamic religious groups. Before the pandemic, no, bago nung pandemic, for, you know, 2016, 17, 18, 19, napapabalitaan towards the end of the year, napapabalitaan sa GMA, sa iba't ibang mga news, sa ABS-CBN, na the Philippines is one of the top, is in the top, part of the top list of most viewers of Pornhub. No, of Pornhub. May statistics na linalabas ang Pornhub eh. Now, a proud nation that is predominantly Christian. You know, complicated yung issue ng pornography. I wouldn't say na ako hindi ako nanonood, no? Paminsan-minsan, no? It tells us something, that there is something problematic of a Christian nation where there seems to be an addiction to pornography, no? Highest, no, one of the highest in the top list of viewers of pornography. And we also have problems of child pornography here in the Philippines. A Christian, predominantly Christian nation, 80% of which are Roman Catholics. In the United States, syempre hindi na tayo magtataka, hindi na nakakagulat, that the top viewers for pornographic materials are in the Bible Belt states. It's not just any porn, not just straight porn, but also gay porn. The top viewers of gay porn are in the Bible Belt states, no? The states and the cities that are proud, proud traditional Christians, conservative Christians, the crusaders of traditional family values, the crusaders against same-sex marriage. Sa kanila, ang highest top viewers of pornography. After passing away, nung pumanaw na siya, the well-loved preacher and champion of conservative evangelical Christianity, Ravi Zacharias, nung pumanaw siya afterwards, napag-alaman that he had many years of sexual abuse and inappropriate sexual behavior by using his power, influence, and authority. Yung church where he was a part of or was associated with made an investigation and later confirmed that the accusations and stories were indeed substantially true. Inversely enough, I assume, that those societies and places where the body and sex are approached in an honest, realistic, holistic, and scientific way are the ones that have effectively reduced, assumption lang to, effectively reduced sexual violence and continue to address it in a much better way. Wala akong data. I did try to look for some statistics, pero yung mga nakita kong sources, I'm not sure if they were accurate. So I rather not like present a dubious statistics, no. But wala akong data, but I assume that countries and places like Canada, some of the Nordic countries, no, Sweden, Finland, etc., and the Netherlands would have better sex education programs and proper responses to sexual violence. I'm not sure which Nordic country, but there is, I think it was Sweden, pero baka mali ako. Na mataas ang report ng sex crimes. But not because mataas talaga yung sex crime, but because it is getting reported. people are reporting it. People are speaking up about it. I would assume, safely assume, that they would have better social programs about sex, the body, and in response to sexual violence. Of course, merong pa ring kinalaman ang poverty and poor education sa degree o taas ng sexual crimes and crimes in general. But I think it is safe to assume that places, communities, and societies that have built a system and structure that have a more positive and logical and open views and programs about bodies and sex are the ones who are making progress in reducing or responding better towards cases of sexual violence. Societies, communities, and institutions who recognize the complementarity of sex and desire and pleasure, I assume, are able to encourage their people to practice healthier ways of sex and sexuality, as well as having a better reverence for people's bodies and body autonomies. Proper and holistic sex education gives young adults, better choices and better ways of deciding about their own bodies and sexual expressions. Armed with proper information, young people can have responsible choices about their bodies, desires, engagements, and relationships. I'm not saying, hindi ko sinasabi, lest I be misunderstood, that a more positive and open theology and education about bodies and sex will absolutely eradicate sexual violence. Hindi naman eh. But it may very well help us. It may help us to reduce and respond better and to evolve better as human beings, recognizing and finally accepting the truth and reality of the body and of sex and of our desires. In my own life, sa aking sariling buhay, I have found that the more honest, informed, and experienced I am as a person who have sexual desires, the more I was able to form and to concretize my ethics and have ethical restraint and was better in ordering my sexuality and taking care of my body. No, walang masama. Walang masama o mali sa pagnanasa, sa kahubaran, at sa sexualidad. Nilikha ng Diyos ang tao na hubad. Nilikha ng Diyos ang katawan na mayroong pagnanasa, sexualidad, at kasarapan sa sex. Nilikha ng Diyos ang sex para maging masarap. Para maging masarap. Para ma-enjoy. Kung ang paglikhang ito ay nagmumula sa wangis ng Diyos, ibig sabihin, ang Diyos mismo ay hubad at may pagnanasa. Amen? Amen ba? Pero ang tanong nga, paano ba ang tama at mabuting kahubaran, pagnanasa at sexualidad? What are the ethical considerations and or principles for a healthy body, an appropriate sexual behavior? What constitutes a positive sexuality with ethics? Nagbibigay ako ng, I think this is pito or ano, walo. Walo. Number one, first is to recognize and accept your own body, your own nakedness, sexuality, and your desires, or for some people, the lack of desire. Ang una ay dapat yakapin mo ang sarili mong katawan at kahubaran. Yakapin mo at mahalin ang sarili mong sexualidad. at kasarian at pagnanasa. Many forms of disordered sexual behavior comes from a place of self-hatred, insecurity, or traumatized bodies, traumatized, unhealed bodies. Being taught, tinuruan tayo to hate our own bodies and desires, we then project that hatred towards others, and sometimes in unhealthy, risky, or even inappropriate sexual behavior. Relearn to love and embrace your own body and sexuality. Number two, be honest. Maging totoo ka about your own sexual desires. Or again, for some people, the lack of such desires. Yung mga asexual and aromantic. Maging totoo at tapat ka sa iyong sarili. What is pleasurable or not pleasurable for you? Who? Sino? Who is pleasurable to you in a romantic or sexual way? Or who is pleasurable to you as a sexual or romantic partner? There is nothing to be ashamed or guilty of as long as you have not and will not force yourself to someone, as long as you will not use violence to get what you desire and put your health and the health of others at risk. Number three, be informed. Educate yourself about bodily health, including sexual health, medical and scientific information about the body and about sexual health. will help you make responsible decisions and less risky choices. No, lalo na ngayong pandemya. Hindi pa tapos ang pandemya. Mga bakla, wag muna kayong umaura kung hindi pa kayo bakunado, kung hindi pa kayo fully vaccinated, no? Hintayin niyo muna na ma-fully vaccinate kayo. Nakakaloka kayo na okay, alam natin yan sa Twitter. Number four. Isa sa pinaka-importante, clear mutual consent. Clear mutual consent is always needed. Never assume that someone has agreed to have sex with you. Always get a clear consent from someone. So ito ay napag-usapan na namin to ni JR sa podcast namin, no, yung Holy Shit, Usapang Bawal. And we had an episode about sexual harassment, sexual assault. Meron din kasi itong borderline, this borderline between flirtation and harassment. Minsan kasi yung meron tayong akala natin or akala ng ibang tao, may pinapahihwating, di ba? Akala nakikipag-flirt din. So, sometimes you get the wrong impression that someone is flirting. Or that when you flirt, the other person is flirting back. And in those instances, sometimes you will then make the move. You will then make the move or push the move. Tapos yung pala mali yung iyong basa. Diba? Mali yung iyong interpretation. Or at least, pwede naman nakikipag-flirt nga siya pero hindi pa siya ready. Ikaw naman masyado ka ng forward. Be as it may, ano man yan, pag naramdaman mong hindi pala, mali pala yung interpretation mo dun, or mali pala yung basa mo sa pag-flirt mo, tumigil ka na. Pag naramdaman mong hindi na siya comfortable or sinabihan ka plainly, stop. Tumigil ka na. Stop. Stop it. And apologize right away. Ang problema kasi, minsan, naramdaman mo nang may discomfort pala yung fine-flirt mo. Or sinabihan ka na bawal or nagpahayag na siya ng discomfort niya. Ikaw,
push ka pa din. Inu-push mo pa rin. Sige ka pa din. Tuloy ka pa din. Iniisip mo baka makalusot. Baka pumayag din. No. Stop right away. And apologize right away. No? Para hindi na siya lumala. And it stops there. Kaya siya nagiging sexual harassment is when you do not stop when the person tells you to stop. No? Yung pagfo-flirt. Minor kinds of hindi ko alam eh, tricky ang ano ba talaga yung ano, how much amount of touch, how much amount of verbal flirting. But as soon as you should stop it so that it doesn't get worse and apologize right away. No means no. Silence means no. Pag hindi na siya kumibo at wala siyang sinabi, hindi ibig sabihin nun yes. Ang ibig sabihin nun ay no. At kung hindi ka sigurado, tanungin mo. Diba? Silence means no. Minors is always a no. Minors are always a no. Huwag mo nang i-justify sa utak mo, huwag mo nang i-justify sa ibang tao. A minor is always no. Okay? And also vulnerable adults. Adults who have mga may edad na pero they have some mental incapacity, no, or mental challenge na hindi nila kaya or hindi sila nakakapagbigay ng full consent. Vulnerable adults are also a no. Professional subordinates are a no. Many companies and even in churches have a code of conduct that says there should not be any sexual romantic relationship between the subordinates. So it is a no. Now on your end naman, kung ikaw naman ikaw yung fine-flirt, ikaw yung fine-flirt, ikaw yung binibigyan ng innuendos, ng signs, ng expressions, learn to say no. Learn to say plain no. Learn to say stop. Never do anything that you are not fully informed or aware of. Never do anything that you are not sure or are not comfortable with. Express your discomfort and displeasure right away. Say no. At ito naman, lalo na sa mga, I mean, this is for everyone, pero I don't know. This is also an experience of many gay men. Never put yourself in a dangerous or risky situation only because you want to satisfy your sexual or emotional desire. Don't put yourself in danger or at risk para lang matugunan ang sexual desire mo or emotional need. Number 5, do not shame or verbally abuse others for the shape of or look of their bodies. There is a way, may paraan to promote healthy living and exercise without the need for body or fat shaming. By extension, do not discriminate on the basis of skin color, bodily form, or any other physical features, including any disability or obvious marks of current or former injury, physical injury. Number 6, your spouse, partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, jowa, or even your fubu are not your possessions. Hindi mo pagmamayari ang jowa mo or asawa mo. You still need consent with and around sex. Identify if you are in an abusive relationship. And if so, leave the abusive relationship. Iwanan mo. Iligtas mo ang sarili mo from the abusive relationship. If you need to ask help or intervention, do so. And if you are the one, kung ikaw naman, the one who is doing the harm or abusing in a relationship at naipahayag na yun sa'yo, you stop. you stop. And if there is a need to break away, please do so. And then seek professional or medical help for your abusive thinking and abusive behavior. Number 7, do not judge or discriminate people who have a different relationship arrangement than you or that you do not agree with. Yes, may iilang mga tao who are in an open relationship. Irespeto mo yon, irespeto mo sila kahit hindi ka nag-a-agree doon, kahit na hindi yun para sa iyo. Buhay nila yan. May mga tao who are in a polyamorous relationship. Huwag mo silang insultuhin, huwag mong tignan sila na mas mababa. Buhay nila yan, para sa kanila yan. Iba ang buhay mo. Respect people who are not in who are in a non-monogamous relationships. On the other hand, respect monogamous relationships. Bakla, ate, kuya, huwag mo nang pasukin at sirain ang isang monogamous relationship. Maraming iba dyan na available. Marami, I mean, hindi naman marami, pero may iilan dyan na polyamorous or open relationship, dun ka na lang. Huwag mo nang pasukin yung monogamous relationship. Please lang. Respect people's relationships. Respect non-Christian relationships. Yung relationship, sila ay Muslim. Irespeto mo yung pagiging Muslim nila sa kanilang relasyon. Respect people in relationship where they are not religious, atheist, or agnostic. Respect people who are asexual or aromantic. Meron din mga taong walang sexual desire or walang romantic need for romance and romantic intimacy. Respect them. Huwag mo nang ipush. Huwag mo nang subukan. And also those who intentionally chose a celibate life. Yes, merong mga taong piniling maging celibate. Hindi lang mga pare. Hindi lang mga pare. May mga taong piniling maging celibate. For whatever reason. Pero at the same time, yung mga pare, di ba, huwag mo nang hangarin o akitin si father o si pastor. Please lang. At kung ikaw ay isang Roman Catholic priest, ginusto mo yan. So please, please live up and honor your vow of chastity and celibacy. Otherwise, kung hindi mo kaya, iwanan at lumabas ka dyan sa sex negative mong simbahan before you cause a scandal to yourself and to your church, or that before you harm other people. Lastly, ito yung pinakahuli, and I know there are more ethics around sex, and there are more progressive ethics that you can search. But last one, if you, number 8, if you are a parent or a parent figure, talk to your teenager child or children about sex and sexuality and about their bodies and desires. Talk to them in an honest, logical, scientific, and the most important one is talk to them in a non-judgmental way. But of course, you also have to be informed and educated. Do not talk to them if you are not fully informed. So if you want to talk to them, educate yourself first and talk to them about it. If we want to break the cycle of bodily shame and sexual violence, we need to begin by recognizing God's nakedness and the nakedness that is inherent in our human bodies. We must reclaim the beauty and the holiness of the whole body with its component parts of sexuality, gender identities, preferences, and desires. We need to examine Kailangan natin suriin our negative thinking and practices about our bodies and sexualities. And also, by doing so, examine our body ethics. We need to respect and honor the diversity of bodily forms and appearances beyond superficial standards. We need to courageously reclaim the pleasure and creative intimacy of sex over and beyond the purpose of producing babies. Masarap ang sex, hindi lang siya panggawa ng bata. We have to reclaim the pleasure and intimacy of sex beyond creating babies. One of the enduring proclamations of MCC is the reintegration of sexuality and spirituality. Ang pag-uugnay muli ng pagnanasa at kaluluwa. At ang paghahabing muli ng ari at papuri. I close this long reflection for today with some of the words of the late queer theologian Marcella Alfaus Reed when she says in one of her famous books, Sex Theology. Is it Sex Theology? Sexual Theology. We must lift the skirt of God and there look within. End of quote. We must lift the skirt of God and look within. And there, if I might add, and there we may find the naked body of God. We may find that the naked body of God is reflected in our own nakedness, desires, sexualities, and pleasures. Napapanahon na para makita at kilalanin natin ang kahubaran ng Diyos. At makita ang ating sariling kahubaran. Ang ating sariling kahubaran na hinulma sa wangis niya. Amen.